Welcome to another week of Free Basketball. I'm your host, Ryan Meadows, and joined once again by my co-host, Cody Hosley. He's not paying attention.
I'm paying attention. I just didn't know whether you're going to try, like, how many different ways you're going to say my name before I needed to start jumping in. Sometimes it's just one. Sometimes it's more. You know, so I just wanted to make sure.
Well, I figured, you know, since it's been a couple weeks, that I would throw something at you to see if, you know, you're in podcasting shape after your All-Star break.
I'm in podcasting shape. This All-Star break is, you know, I gave that about as much thought and effort just now, that response, as the players did for the All-Star game and the weekend. And the NBA in general gave thought to that.
But you know, I'm normal co-host Cody Hosley. He is back. And we're not going to have a lot of things to talk about tonight. A few handful of things that happened during All-Star break that were, you know, pretty, maybe not fun, but were kind of like interesting, so to speak. So we're going to be talking about the Nets firing Jacques Vaughn and what's going on with them. The whole Doc Rivers, J.J. Redick thing. I don't know if we'll go too in-depth for that, but we'll mention it. And then we'll touch on, you know, what's kind of the expectations or maybe some expectations we might have for the Grizz, you know, on this last 26-game stretch for the rest of the season here. So let's start with the Nets firing Jacques Vaughn. So I didn't look at the Nets record, because who cares? I think they were actually like 21-33, but they stink. And more so, I wanted to bring up the Nets because just to give ourselves some flowers, because if you listen to us or any length of time, you know that we do summer, you know, team previews, or we do a ranking list, and we had the Nets really low. I think we had them in the bottom eight, maybe even lower than that. But we said, like, everybody was thinking they're going to be decent, bunch of forwards, Mikal Bridges, and we were on Front Street saying, this team actually sucks and is going to suck, and here they are. They suck. But now they have fired Jacques Vaughn, because that's what you do, right? If things are going poorly for your first 50-something games, you fire your coach to change your sense of direction, right? Or change the direction of your franchise. Does firing Jacques Vaughn change the direction of this franchise for the better?
I mean, the players are still the players, right? Like, they didn't change any of the players on the team?
Nope. I mean, they traded Royce O'Neal, but it's essentially the same core. Like, the core that you thought would be the main pieces to be, if this team would be good.
Yeah, the players, at the end of the day, are the ones that have to play the game. So, like, you know, to me, I don't think that, like, yeah, you fire the coach. Like, maybe the coach lost the guys. But, like, your real problem is what the problem is.
The players suck.
The players are terrible. It's a bad team.
I guess the players aren't terrible. I mean, but the whole thing of Mikal Bridges. Well, no, the players aren't terrible. But,
like, this team is, like, thrown together real quickly because Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden didn't work out. Like, that's the whole reason that this team is in this situation, because they, like, took a big risk for those three guys. It didn't work out in hilarious fashion. It didn't work out. And now, like, they're at where they're at.
They're kind of like the Raptors, right? Like, the Raptors for a couple of years, like, what is the direction of this team? The Nets are the same thing, except, you know, their GM, general manager, Sean Marks, would say, you know, we traded all of our first-round picks. It's not like we can bottom out. We have no picks to make them. So I guess we'll be mediocre, and the picks that convey won't be as good. So maybe they're not as morally damaging. I don't, like, what's the thought process behind that? Why haven't they? They've obviously had offers for all those players, and they've had plenty of chances. I mean, we even reported, but it was reported that the Grizzlies offered, you know, 3 to 4 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. I know if the Grizzlies add Mikal Bridges, those picks aren't going to be, you know, in the lottery. They're going to be in the 20s, but you at least have some
Right.
ammo to maneuver now. So it seems like they've had plenty of deals. People were offering two or three door. They wanted two picks for Dorian Finney-Smith, and then it kind of worked out where, like, well, you're probably going to get a couple seconds. So it seems like they were putting this really high price on all these players that I think they knew weren't going to work out. And now it's kind of like the Raptors, where it's like, is it too late? Did they kind of miss their window on selling these guys high? And now that they're at their rock bottom value, now they're going to get less return. Is that kind of where you see the Nets at? Is that how they've screwed this up? Or is it just a no direction thing?
I mean, I just think it's like there's just it's just that it's because of all the stuff that happened before, like, and they it's hard to like fix that stuff on the fly. So like to me, like it's just they just have some work to do on just getting that team like fixed. And some of it is like, yeah, they're gonna have to like do it through the draft, and like some of those guys are just gonna have to get older. Like that team's really young, like that team is it's just not a like it's a like ramshackle team is what it is. It's
It's
a
a
team
team
that's
full of the same players.
right. Well, and it's a team that like it's not a team that like they set out to build. It's a team that they ended up with, if that makes sense. Like the it's not a team that they like crafted together in the way that they wanted to. It's a team that they just happened to end up with.
Yeah, but
Does
it's
that make
weird that
sense?
keep holding on to that though, because like the Mikal Bridges, well, Kevin Durant obviously is like, get me out of here. And I guess John Marks thought, well, if I piss off Kevin Durant and say no, then we're on free agent destination. All these GMs and franchises are so to stand up to a superstar, whereas we're in the basketball community, they won't come there anymore, you know? That he just like can't take care of Bridges and Cam Johnson. I think you're right. Like he wasn't in love with anything that he was bad. It wasn't ideal for him, but he was like, this is the best I can get, I guess, for a situation I'm in. And then he hasn't turned to anything. They've let it play out for almost a full season now. Like by the end of this, it'll be a season and a half, and we've known since the last, the trade deadline last year, that it wasn't going to work this year. And they still sat on him. So, like, what's going on? Like, to me, Sean Marks, the general manager, is trying to save his job. I mean, this is like their third coach in 3 years, four, two. I can't remember how many it is, but it's a lot of
It's a lot.
coaches back to back. And, like, I just think he's trying to save his job and keep it as long as possible. And he keeps selling it down the river, like he's selling to his owner. But I just don't believe that what the owner's Joe Tsai of the Brooklyn Nets, like he's not dumb, right?
Right.
Now, he may not be super clued into the NBA, but the guy's not dumb. Like, can you not
No, he's
recognize
not
that Sean
stupid.
Marks is doing things to just save his job? Like, Sean Marks in the beginning came in and they didn't have their picks to begin with, and they bottomed out. And they were okay with it then. Now he's in the situation where he's the one, like he got a pass back then, right? Because it wasn't him that gave those picks away. Now
Right.
it is him that gave those picks away. And now he wants to stay middling. Like it's just blowing up in his face. I just don't think they recognize yet that the problem is Sean Marks, who took a risk, took a gamble on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. If you were a GM for most of all NBA franchises, especially someone like the Nets, you're doing it, right? Like that's just, I'm not saying no to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving so I can watch D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie play together. Like, I'm
Right.
just not doing that. So he took the risk, almost paid off. They almost made the, what, Eastern Conference Finals? And it blew up in his face. And now he probably should be jobless, but he's not. So is that the real reason? Because if they were just getting pieces back that they don't love, why haven't they shipped them out for assets to start a rebuild? Like, I don't understand the strategy of this. Does it make any sense to you?
No, it absolutely does not make any sense at all.
So what would you do going forward?
I would just fire sale. Everybody's available, whatever you like, whatever there is. I just like stack up picks. Like, look at what they have done in Oklahoma City with just
Right.
picks. I mean, like they traded Paul, they turned Paul George into Shea.
Yeah.
But like, other than that, like everybody else on that team, they've pretty much just drafted. And they've turned those picks and stuff like that they've had into like assets when they haven't been able to. So that's what I would do. I would just start dropping everybody for picks. Like maybe you forfeit like 12 games because you don't have enough players. All you have is picks. You got to make it through the draft to like field a team. Who knows?
Just start going with your war chest.
Yeah,
Just
just
start
start like
building the
throwing
picks.
everything at it.
Because I mean, the draft is basically what the Thunder and the Jazz for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, those two teams have so many picks. And I mean, the Thunder are using those picks. Like, the Mavericks needed to pick from the Thunder to what, make that deal for Daniel Gafford, I think. And so it's like those picks turn into something that could be useful to you in a couple of years. So we knew that Presti wasn't going to make all the picks, but it gave him options where he could do little things like that, where he can do a swap where it might be valuable later, push it off a little bit because the team's kind of in a bind right now. So that would make sense for Brooklyn Nets. The problem is like, I just don't see how you can do this with Sean Marks. I know he did it the first time, right? Like having nothing, and he turned that team into like they drafted Jared Allen, Dinwiddie, D'Lo, all those guys. Like they were fun, and then he cashed in all of his chips for Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden, and it blew up. So are they like, is he really going to do it again? I don't know. But the Nets are, I don't want to say they're interesting because they're not. Like they're a dumpster fire waiting to actually catch on fire. But I think we know the real problem is the players are all the same and not that good overall. Mikal Bridges is not a star, even though he's a really good player. I like Cam Johnson, not a guy that should be in your top three. And your GM has, he's just kind of in the situation he's in. So it's time to pick a direction forward. Now, maybe not necessarily picking direction forward, but an interesting conversation that has come out of All-Star Weekend. We had one, the NBA stats, people who watch films, hero J.J. Redick. Did he go after Doc Rivers a little bit, his ex-coach? What did you think about the situation?
I mean, he said the same thing that everybody else that talks about sports says about Doc Rivers, is that like, yeah, it's like always like fine for a while, and then he just like will say things about players and whatever. And Austin Rivers like came to his dad's defense, and so did Pat Beverly. And
Pat Beverly
you
was
know,
the funniest one.
it's like this man like saved your career,
Pat Beverly in there.
like first of all, like I don't know that.
So I think the most interesting thing that came out of that, that whole little mini NBA blood feud or whatever was J.J. Redick the next day went on ESPN, the NBA show, I guess, NBA Today or whatever they call that. And said that, he can post a video of him breaking down how the Pelicans use Zion at point guard, in a particular game, and it'll get 500 views, but or only get 500 views on YouTube. But he mentions a critique about Dark Rivers and get over 10 million impressions. So it brought up this idea, like, do fans who claim they want to be educated, do they actually want to be educated? Because they're not viewing, a guy in the national media who played college and high level NBA or high level college and NBA for a long time. Is putting out an educational video to show, how teams use different players, but instead they go for the clicks and the engagement or for the drama. So what would be kind of your thoughts on that? Is it really like are fans really just like that? They just want drama. They don't care about actually learning about the game or how teams use what. They just want to talk about Zion eating a bunch of beignets and being fat and, all the other off-court drama that we won't mention here. What's
Well,
your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that I definitely think that that's like part of that's a big problem for the NBA because like it's like the basketball is like secondary to like the Real Housewives version, like the like the MTV
Like
version of the
basketball
NBA
wives?
or yeah, like the basketball like it's more entertaining like because. Think about how like basketball is consumed. Like we complain about this all the time as resident old men,
Yes.
but that like that it's there's not a lot of like whole games being watched. Like you watch you can follow the NBA through like highlights and stuff like that. You get a pretty good idea of like what went on in the game. You don't really know as much as like whatever as like watching the whole thing, but you could.
You've watched enough highlights to have an opinion about
Yeah,
the game.
you can consume the NBA through highlights and podcasts and Twitter or X or whatever the, you want to look at. You can, your social media platform of choice, Instagram, whatever it is, like you can see what you want to see about the NBA. You can listen to all the commentary that you want. You can like digest the NBA through podcasts like ad nauseum. Like there's so many of them. Like we're doing one. Like there's tons of others that are like more credible and like Zach Lowe and people like that that also do podcasts. So like there's just
Yeah.
so much stuff you can listen to hours and hours and hours and hours of NBA coverage. And a lot of the times like people are talking about the stuff like the JJ like me and you. There's not any games this week so
Yeah.
far. Like NBA All-Star was terrible. There's not much that you and I want to talk about that, but we still were like, hey, let's talk about the JJ Redick stuff and the Nets losing their coach. So,
Yeah.
there's
Well,
obviously something to that.
yeah, I like the, you're saying it's the highlight thing. That's how the only thing I watched All Star Weekend, here's a confession. I watched Vince Williams Jr. play that one team Rising Stars challenge game, and they lost. After that, it was off. The rest of the time I viewed All Star Weekend was through X. Like, it was just through people posting highlights because I knew every little thing was going to be posted, and I didn't have to sit there and listen to Kenny. I didn't have to listen to Reggie Miller. Which Kenny got himself in some hot water anyways, but like I didn't have to sit there and watch 3 hours of something that I can see the same thing scrolling Twitter or Instagram and just go right, oh, okay, that was okay. Or, well, this looks dumb. Like I got the whole sense that All-Star Weekend sucked just by seeing the highlights, just seeing the videos as they're being posted by the NBA themselves. And so I know everybody's been talking about All-Star Weekend, and we're getting off the JJ thing. So I want to get back to the JJ kind of idea, but we're not doing this whole thing like everybody else is how you fix All-Star because there's no fix to All-Star Weekend. Like everybody wants to talk about how David Stern would, oh, he wouldn't allow this to happen. Like this is the player empowerment era. Back then with David Stern, it was not. Like, there's nothing Adam Silver can do. He is at the whim of the players and what they want to do. He's not changing a thing. And here's the thing. It was the most viewed and engaged thing the NBA had. And I can't remember. It was like up 50% or something from whatever. Like their most viewed thing of the weekend on all streaming platforms and or not streaming platforms, but all social media. It's like nothing's gonna change. But that's kind of the same thing getting back to JJ. Like the fans, I could see All-Star Weekend through X and Instagram videos and come up with an opinion that it sucked. You know, and it would be in line with everyone else who actually sat down and watched the entire thing, which becomes a dangerous thing if you're talking about an actual team, right? Like if you're someone that's in, you know, for the Grizzlies, for example, you're in there every single day as a reporter, you're at practice, you're communicating with the players, you're not necessarily in the locker room, but you know what's going on. You can have the same ideas as someone like me who can watch, you know, the 10-minute condensed NBA, the League Pass version, and kind of give you the same summation of what's going on. So it's just like it's kind of dangerous, don't you think? Because most fans, they want their opinion to be out there because they want to feel like what they're saying is credible. Is that a good way of saying that, or is there a better way that you would how you would describe it?
No, I agree. I agree with that. I think that's like, I think
Because everybody
it's
argues with
just
each
like,
other, all the spaces and stuff is just everybody arguing with each other all the time, talking over each other, trying to make better points than the other person. Like what
Yeah.
else would you add to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I think that like the biggest, I just think that like it's good. It's interesting that like it seems like we've gotten to a point where the not basketball stuff has overtaken the basketball stuff. So I'm interested to see how like at what point does like the sport stop carrying the thing. I mean, I don't think we're there yet, but like,
Yeah.
I don't
Well,
know.
is there a tipping point where it
Right.
starts to hurt the league?
Indeed. We'll
Yeah.
find out.
We'll find out. Maybe never. You never know. I don't know. Could just keep going, right? All-Star
It could
weekend.
go forever.
All-Star weekend, quote unquote, sucked, and it's their most viewed thing on social media. Now finally, you know, let's not do this long. Let's get out of here kind of quick, but the Grizzlies next, well, they have not next, but their final 26 games of the regular season, maybe not expectations, I should say, but they're 20 and 36 heading into the final 26 games. There is anticipation in a couple weeks, maybe mid to late March, we get Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, maybe even some Brandon Clark minutes here coming off the Achilles. Do you have any kind of anything you're looking for in this final 26, an expectation? Do you think they'll try to get Bane and Smart back and make a push to the play-in, or are they too far out? They're kind of locked into their spot in the lottery, at least, the draft lottery.
I mean, I think they're kind of locked into their spot. Like, I mean, like, I don't know that they're gonna make the play-in. I think that's kind
Yeah.
of.
Yeah, they're not going to make the play-in, but maybe not believe in the idea, but would you bring back Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart and try Brandon Clark out a little bit for his Achilles?
I would like work Brandon Clark back into the lineup for sure, and have him just play games that don't matter. Absolutely. I would use it like, and the other guys too. Like, I wouldn't even necessarily shut them down the rest of the season. Like, if they want to play, like, if they want to, like, get some, like, game, like, reps in, like, great. Let's do it. Let's get you 10, 15 minutes here or there. Let's not overdo it. It's all about your health, you know?
So you would be very cautious, like kind of how Derrick Rose all season would play one game, be out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane's like, you're
Just
not
do
playing
that.
any back-to-backs. You know, if we have 3 games this
Yeah.
week, you'll probably play in two. You probably won't play a
Yeah, do
third or
that.
whatever. Same with Marcus Smart. You know, he's not
Yeah,
an old man,
exactly.
but he's like, what, 29? I mean.
Yeah, you place, I'll finish. It's all about your health.
Younger guys and figure out the end of the rotation or who's going to be on your bench, who's going to be on your 15-man roster over the summer. Is that ideally what you're doing over this next 26 games.
Yeah, just let those young guys play, like figure out what you got, like, figure out who's like actually good, figure out who like you signed because you needed to fill out the roster because of injuries, and figure out who you like actually want to keep around to play with like the core of your team. I think that's like the good thing. And then like, for Taylor Jenkins, like get weird, do some like crazy shit, like do whatever you want. Like there's no rules right now. Like you have Like you're in that like Dave Yeager zone where you've had like 54 players this season. So like just do whatever you want. Like no one can even like argue with you. You like if they're like these lineups suck, then you just be like, okay, these rosters suck. Like what do you want me to do? Like every like 3 days, I got a new group of people I gotta like learn to game plan with. Like relax. So yeah, I don't know. I think that like the situation that Grizzlies are in is like ideal. You can let some people get some reps in that like need them. You can let some people get some rest that, if they want it, whatever, who cares? And then you can otherwise just kind of like experiment and like do some weird thing. Like you want to run like a five center offense, go for it.
Let's get real weird. I guess the same kind of question, but with Jaren Jackson Jr., because he has been the only one that hasn't been hurt for, at least for an extended period of time. And usually he's the guy who's the extended period of time injury guy. Are you turning more cautious with him, or just letting him keep going all out, doing what he's doing and continuing to learn? I mean, he's gotten better at things that I thought he would never get better at. And that was stuff like, his court mapping, solving a double team, passing out of double teams, finding the open player. Like, he has gotten better at that. That has been beneficial because he's just
He's a real cartographer of the court.
new nickname, new slogan for Jaren Jackson
Double
Jr.,
C.
cartographer of the court.
Triple J does double C.
Is CC. But would you be more cautious with Jaren going forward, or because of the development that he has on the court so far, you would keep letting him go about every game that you can for him?
Yeah, let him go. Let him, yeah, I would. Let him play. Like, cause then, like, cause he's gonna get like what he's gonna get what more experience, like being the only guy on the court that can like they can really like create and like be in charge. So he's gonna develop some leadership skills. He's gonna develop some good like under pressure. Like he's gonna, I don't know. He just gets some good reps. He's gonna get the ball a lot. Let him cook, baby. Well, Ryan has left the podcast. It's still
I'm back.
recording, so I'm going to go ahead and say what Ryan was going to say. He said, with that, I think we're going to end the podcast. He just got back. So I don't know what he was going to say, actually. You could take all that back and we can let him end the podcast the way that he wanted to. But I thought he just quit.
It did seem like that. I was like, uh-oh, I'm trying to end it. And I guess Zoom knew I wanted to end it.
Yeah, Zoom said, get the fuck out of here.
So, Cody, anything to plug for you before we get out of here? Haven't
Nah.
plugged in a long time.
Haven't plugged in a really long time. I got nothing. I need to plug my phone in to charge before I go to bed. That's for sure.
You go. You might hear some audio here at the end of Cody. At the beginning, before we started this recording, was just him trying out different audio settings. So some of them were entertaining. Ooh, ooh. But thanks for tuning in
The
this week for another
show is
episode of Free Basketball. Maybe I should let
ending.
Cody close us out here with a little free basketball
We'll
ballad for you.
see you. My pitch is too good. It's not auto-tuned to me. We'll see you next time. Next time on the show.
See you guys next week.